VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Mario Ritter Jr., Dan Friedel, and Brian Lynn. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Mario Ritter Jr.
In Hong Kong, law enforcement officials forced the closure of media company Stand News on Wednesday and arrested six current or former workers in a raid. Reports say the employees were charged with suspected seditious publication. Stand News was set up in 2014 as a non-profit media company. It was the best-known publication supporting democracy in Hong Kong after the closure of Apple Daily in June. Police also seized the money and property of the business. In addition to arresting six current or former employees of Stand News, police also arrested activist and popular singer Denise Ho. She was a former board member of the media company who was also charged with involvement in publishing a seditious publication. The latest raid adds to concerns about press freedom in the former British colony that was returned to Chinese rule in 1997. The year 2021 brought major changes for media in Hong Kong. The changes came largely from a national security law for the territory that was passed in Beijing. During the year, reporters were detained. The Apple Daily newspaper was forced to close, and visas for foreign reporters were delayed or, in one case, denied. Hong Kong was once a model for press freedom. Protests were covered freely by local and international reporters. But those same protests led to mainland China's new national security law, which bans what it calls secession and collusion with foreign forces. Journalists' associations, including the Foreign Correspondents Club, FCC, in Hong Kong, are concerned about the law's effects. The FCC's yearly opinion study of members found that 84% believe conditions have changed for the worse since the law came into effect. Ronson Chan is chair of the Hong Kong Journalists Association and an editor at news website Stand News. Reports say he was not arrested Wednesday. "We never can get back. Hong Kong has changed," Chan said. "Freedom of press has many red lines." Keeping a free press in Hong Kong was the best way to differentiate between the city and China, Chan said. He added that it is important for the Hong Kong people to still have a good media. Hong Kong Chief Executive Carrie Lam has repeatedly said that press freedom is guaranteed under Hong Kong's basic law. The Basic Law was put in place before Britain turned Hong Kong over to mainland China in 1997. Lam has denied that the arrests and the closure of Apple Daily were an attack on the media. She said journalists have a responsibility to not break the new law. I'm Mario Ritter Jr.
VOA spoke to people in Kabul, Afghanistan on Tuesday, who said they saw Taliban security forces fire guns in the air to break up a women's protest. Afghan women marched through the streets to protest new restrictions put out by the Taliban on Sunday. The restrictions limit how far women can travel without a close male family member. The new rules said women cannot go more than 72 kilometers from home by themselves. In addition, taxi drivers are not permitted to give rides to women who are not wearing a hijab or headscarf. Sadiq Akif Mahajer is the spokesman for the Taliban's Ministry for the Promotion of Virtue and Prevention of Vice. He said the new rules are within the limits of what is allowed under Sharia or Islamic law. The rules also now prevent taxi drivers from playing music in their cars. It also asks them to grow facial hair and take time out to pray each day. On Tuesday, women walked together to the ministry, holding signs that read, "We are tired of discrimination, and we are the voice of hungry people." Protesters demanded work, food, and education, and asked, "Why have you closed schools?" One protester, Hoda Kamush, told VOA that the security forces fired shots in the air as the women got closer to the ministry building, and some tried to enter. During the previous Afghan government, the building was the home of the Women's Affairs Ministry. Kamush said the shots injured some protesters, but VOA could not verify her claim. Taliban officials did not comment on the incident Tuesday. Television channels, however, did show video from the protest. Since the Taliban took back Afghanistan after the United States military announced it would leave the country earlier this year, boys have been permitted to go to school. Girls are still waiting for permission. Most women are waiting for permission to return to work. When the Taliban took power in Afghanistan in August, the group said it would not bring back the same restrictions it had imposed during its earlier rule, which lasted from 1996 to 2001. The new restrictions came after the Taliban told television broadcasters to stop showing fictional television programs such as soap operas with women actors. The Taliban also requires female television broadcasters to wear hijabs. I'm Dan Friedel.
The past year's top technology news included stories about the release of secret Facebook documents, developments in robotics, and the rise of NFTs. Here is a look back at some of those stories. In October, a former Facebook employee accused the company of ignoring its own research findings. A Facebook investigation had found that its products and policies can harm users. The former data scientist, Frances Haugen, based her accusations on secret Facebook documents she provided to media organizations and the U.S. Congress. The documents became known as the Facebook Papers. Haugen said the documents showed Facebook can amplify hate and misinformation and fuel political divisions. The documents also suggested the company was aware that its Instagram service could harm the mental health of girls and young women. Haugen said Facebook had been dishonest in public declarations about its efforts to fight hate speech and misinformation. The company denied it had purposefully pushed content that makes people angry for profit. Facebook also denied that it ignored research on the possible effects of its products. A video of dancing robots that went viral in early 2021 demonstrated the human-like abilities of the machines. Three robots, produced by American technology company Boston Dynamics, took part in the full dance performance. The chairman of Boston Dynamics, Mark Raybert, admitted the video was fun to watch. But, he said, the real success behind the experiment was the valuable lessons the project taught his team. Boston Dynamics introduced another robot called Stretch, which was designed for only one job, to move containers in large storage buildings. The company said the robot can move about 800 containers, weighing up to 23 kilograms each, in 1 hour. In Hawaii, another Boston Dynamics robot was deployed by police to find people with high body temperatures in a homeless shelter in the capital, Honolulu. The effort was aimed at identifying homeless individuals who might be infected with the coronavirus that causes COVID-19. In September, Italian researchers reported results from an experiment that examined how a robot's eyes can make the machines better connect with humans. They said the experiment showed that looks from a robot can trick people into thinking they are socially interacting with a human. They noted that the experience can affect a person's decision-making process and change how humans react to robots. Hong Kong-based Hanson Robotics announced plans to mass-produce thousands of human-like robots called humanoids. The company said the coronavirus pandemic had increased demand for robots designed to assist and interact with humans. One robot designed by Hanson, called Sophia, helped create a new form of artwork called an NFT, or non-fungible token. this kind of digital art gained popularity in 2021. An NFT is based on blockchain technology, which is also used with digital money. An NFT can be attached to a piece of digital artwork or other things in digital form. It can be used to provide proof that the pieces are real. While anyone can view the work, the buyer has official ownership rights over the pieces. In March, American artist Beeple sold an NFT for nearly $70 million through Christie's auction and private sales. It was the first sale by a major auction house of art that did not exist in physical form. Even the man credited with inventing the World Wide Web, Tim Berners-Lee, decided to sell an NFT that included computer code he used to create the beginnings of the Internet. The NFT included 9,555 lines of code Berners-Lee used to start the World Wide Web. It also contained an animation of the code being written and a letter he wrote describing his thoughts on the code and his process for creating it. The NFT sold for $5.4 million. I'm Brian Lynn.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. In March of 1889, Grover Cleveland left the White House after 4 years as president. He had been defeated by Benjamin Harrison. As they were leaving, Cleveland's wife, Frances, spoke with a member of the White House staff. She said, "I want you to take good care of everything. I want to find it the same when we come back, and we will be back in 4 years." Frances Cleveland was right. She and her husband moved back into the White House after he became president again in 1893. Grover Cleveland is the only man to serve 2 terms separated by the administration of a different president. Shirley Griffith and Frank Oliver begin the story of Grover Cleveland's second presidency.
Grover Cleveland did not want to be president again, but he was worried about the future of the United States. He did not think President Harrison could solve the serious economic problems the country faced. President Harrison had approved very high taxes on imports. He also had approved an increase in the supply of silver money. Grover Cleveland said both actions had hurt the economy. He also feared that Harrison was not strong enough to oppose the demands of special interest groups in the Republican Party. Cleveland believed he was the only Democrat who could defeat Harrison. He won his party's nomination, and he was easily elected to a second presidency.
Grover Cleveland immediately turned to the nation's economic problems. The country seemed headed for a serious depression. Only a few days before Cleveland's second inauguration in 1893, a major railroad failed. Then another big company declared failure. This set off a selling panic on the stock market. In the next few months, almost 8,000 businesses failed in the United States. 400 banks closed. 1 million workers lost their jobs. The prices of farm products fell lower than ever before, and thousands of farmers, unable to pay their debts, had to give up their farms.
Experts offered a number of different reasons for the depression. Some said it was a plot by members of the stock market to ruin farmers and seize their land. Some said it happened because American factories were producing more goods than people could use. Still others said the problem was caused by the government's money policy. For many years, the United States and other nations used both gold and silver as money. Paper money was used to represent a nation's gold and silver holdings. The value of silver was tied to the value of gold. In the United States in the early 1800s, 15 ounces of silver had the same value as 1 ounce of gold. This value did not change until after 1860. That was when mines in the western United States began to produce large amounts of silver. The extra silver caused the price of the metal to fall.
In 1871, Germany declared that it would no longer support its paper money with silver. Instead, it would use only gold. Other European countries quickly did the same thing. The United States did too. In 1873, Congress passed a law that stopped the government from using silver as money. Western silver producers protested. They put great pressure on lawmakers to change the law. 5 years later, Congress passed a compromise bill. The compromise bill said the government could issue limited amounts of silver money. It said the government must buy $2 million worth of silver each month for that purpose.
12 years later, during President Benjamin Harrison's administration, Congress passed a new silver purchase bill. It said the government must buy 4.5 million ounces of silver each month. The Treasury Department would buy the silver with new paper money that could be exchanged for silver or gold. The new law increased the amount of silver money used in the United States. The country soon became sharply divided on the issue of silver money. Wealthy businessmen and bankers did not want to use silver money at all. They wanted the country's economy to be based only on gold. This was what was known as the gold standard. They believed the gold standard would keep the value of the dollar high. Using silver, they said, made the dollar less valuable.
Farmers, laborers, and others wanted to use silver money, and they wanted an unlimited supply of it. Without silver, they said, the country's money supply would be too small. Gold would increase in value. People who had borrowed money would be hurt. They would have to pay back loans with dollars that were more valuable than those they had borrowed. President Cleveland supported the gold standard. He opposed any use of silver for money. He said the United States should use only gold, as other nations did.
President Cleveland was sure the Silver Purchase Law of 1890 had caused the economic depression. He explained the situation in this way. The law had caused businessmen and investors to lose faith in the government's money policy. They were afraid their money would drop in value as more silver money was put into use. Investors began to withdraw their money from businesses. Banks began demanding early payment of loans. Everyone wanted gold. They took their paper money and their silver to the government and exchanged them for gold. In 1890, when the Silver Purchase Act was passed, the government held almost $290 million in gold. After 2 years, withdrawals had cut that amount to $100 million.
President Cleveland and other administration officials began to worry. It was possible that gold holdings might fall so low the government could not support the dollar. Cleveland decided the only answer was to get Congress to kill the silver purchase law. Then the government could stop buying silver. It could return to the gold standard. The Congress was not in session, however. It would not meet again for several months. President Cleveland did not want to wait. He believed the problem was too serious. So he called a special session of Congress. The president did not expect an easy time with the Congress. Many congressmen supported silver money, especially those congressmen from silver-producing states in the West.
President Cleveland believed he could get Congress to kill the silver purchase law. But if he showed any weakness, the fight would be lost. Then, just before the congressional debate, he learned he would need an operation. He felt a rough spot in the top of his mouth. It got bigger and more painful. Doctors examined the spot. It was a cancer. President Cleveland asked how long he could wait to have the cancer removed. "If it were in my mouth," one of the doctors said, "I would have it removed immediately."
Cleveland agreed, but he said the operation would have to be kept secret. News from the White House often affected short-term activity on the stock market. News that the president's life was in danger could cause the nation's economic crisis to become worse. Cleveland decided to have the operation on a friend's boat in New York Harbor. Newsmen were told he was going sailing with his friend. Doctors made final preparations. They were not afraid of the operation, but they were afraid of what would happen if news of the operation were leaked to the press. One of them spoke with the boat's captain. "If you hit an underwater rock," he said, "hit it good and hard, so we will all go to the bottom."
As the boat moved slowly up the East River in New York, the doctors put President Cleveland to sleep with an anesthetic drug. Then they began the operation. That will be our story in the next program of The Making of a Nation.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.